Moving on, then, here is the third worst WrestleMania of all time. And quite goddamn frankly, this is my least favorite WrestleMania ever. WrestleMania 11 from Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, God.
My
fucking looks
favorite
like
as well. This is number one on my list.
Yeah, this is number one on mine. The Hartford Civic Center that looked like a goddamn tin shed that someone built from a kit from Menards.
Way too small for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Way
yep.
too rinky-dink.
But then again, this was 1995. This was like the worst year, I think, WWF ever had. Well, ever, you know, whatever. In
right.
10 years, in a good decade. This was
right.
the worst year. Well, let's figure out why. The first match on the card is Lex Luger and Davey Boy Smith versus Jacob and Eli Blue.
Yeah.
Jacob and Eli Blue get a fucking WrestleMania payday. I mean, what more needs to be said, really?
Right. I have nothing more to add.
I mean, what's the finish? I think it was Davey Boy coming off the top rope with a sunset flip of all things.
I don't care.
Yeah, it looked like everyone was going to break their neck.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they were involved in that move, everyone in the ring was going to break their neck.
Yeah. Jacob tried to throw Luger down with the powerbomb. Luger tagged in Smith, who did the sunset flip to pin Jacob to win the match.
Yeah. I mean, just bad. Just big, goofy Lex Luger. You know, a bulldog who's still carrying 40 extra pounds on his body than he should.
Yeah.
And seriously, entrusting a WrestleMania match with Jacob and Eli Blue is probably one of the worst ideas ever.
They would have been better off with Davey Boy versus Luger, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, really. Do the turn 6 months early.
Yeah, no. Who cares?
Yep. Yeah, Luger had lost all steam by that point. I mean,
yeah.
They had given up on him, and the Allied powers needed to happen, I guess, so.
Yuck. And the thing that sucks, too, is that I would have killed to have been their flag bearer when they came to Des Moines a couple months later. I don't know if we would have fucking planted the flag right in Lex Luger's heart, but whatever.
he wouldn't have felt a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, here's a great thing about this show, too. For some reason, I thought of this. I think Stephanie Wyand was on the announce team. I think she did some backstage interviews, and like they had a Make-A-Wish kid back there talking to Razor Ramon, and Stephanie Wyand talks to the kid. She's like, "And you're at WrestleMania. How do you feel?" And the kid's like, "Good." She's like, "Great, Razor." And then Razor's like, "Say this kid, he's a good guy. Now say hello to the bad guy." And Stephanie's like, "Oh, back to you." You fucking bitch.
Yep.
Fucking
why
dumb.
There was not another WrestleMania with her.
Yeah, oh my God. Well, and what made me think of that was we got Jerry Lawler and Vince McMahon on commentary, but then you have Jim Ross relegated to the duty of aisle interviewer.
Yes.
He's chasing people down in the aisle with those stupid headphones on and a stick microphone.
Uncle Zebekiah, how do you feel?
No, my God. Jesus Christ.
This is an injustice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Dutch. Yeah.
Fuck you, Dutch Mantel.
I know. Oh. Fuck that guy, too. Cause
he's another fucking chump.
Well.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, hey.
The wrestling business with his TNA bullshit.
Yep.
Let's complete the trifecta here because the next match on the show is Razor Ramon beating Intercontinental Champion Jeff Jarrett, but it was by disqualification. Of course, there's nothing better to do.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh,
I agree with him.
Yep. I don't get it, man. Razor Ramon was doing his thing. Jeff Jarrett sucked. Give the belt back to Razor, for Christ's sake.
No shit.
Yep.
Give the belt to Razor, and then feud him against Rhodey, who actually had some talent.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Or anything else.
Yep. And Jarrett was fucking lit up like Christmas time, if I remember right. I think he had his whole outfit on, glowing and blinking.
Oh, yeah, and the glowing glasses, and that thing.
And that really got him over, so it was
wonderful. Oh, I know.
Of course, yeah, the white suit with the red neon, all over it. That's brilliant. God, I'm angry about this show. We've only been through two matches.
That's why we did an entire audio show about 1995.
Yeah, no kidding. Good call. Okay, third match. Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, this show is fucking horrible. Yeah, continue.
The Undertaker beats King Kong Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
King Kong Bundy was brought back, like, sometime in late 94.
Late 94, yep.
Late 94,
to be a member,
yep,
of the Million Dollar Corporation. I mean, what the fuck were they thinking?
Well...
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And then, so, okay, Undertaker, and he was feuding with the corporation. I think he beat, I think he wrestled IRS at the Royal Rumble.
He did. This was part of his year-long epic feud against the Million Dollar Corporation.
Yeah.
Actually lasted more than a year.
Yep, it was longer than that, I was about to say.
Longer than a year, because it goes back to the Underfaker. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, SummerSlam 94, yeah, and then it continues on until probably, what, Survivor Series or something?
No, December in your house, he faces Mabel.
Oh, yep, there you go. Well, oh my God. Okay,
everything interlinked for, like, 13 months.
Yeah. Yep. So the Death versus Taxes match, which was a brilliant idea.
I get it.
95, yep. The urn gets repossessed or stolen or fucking written off or whatever.
Whatever.
And then, what is it, comma, okay, Paul Bearer gets the urn back at this match at WrestleMania with King Kong Bundy involved. King Kong Bundy, by the way, was gritting his teeth an awful lot. He was on fucking crank at this time, and he still wasn't any skinnier. But if you watch...
Yeah, really, how does that work?
Yeah, no kidding. Dusty, is this right? Do we always make fun of this when they're saying he's chomping at the bit?
Chomping at the bit, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's fucking...
Vince said it in this match, I think.
What's that? They said it in this match?
Vince,
yeah.
Said that, yeah.
No, he wasn't chomping at the bit. He was fucking grinding his teeth because he's on coke. Because he's a fucking indie wrestler wrestling fucking Colt Cabana in a fairgrounds field for fucking $200 in a line. Reed steals the urn, and Jim Ross catches up with him in the aisleway to ask him what he's going to do, and he's like, and with this urn, I'm going to melt it down and make a chain!
Yep.
God damn it! Why me? Why the fuck?
But he did! But yet, somehow Undertaker still got the urn back at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, amazing.
Yeah, figure that one.
The urn that didn't exist anymore.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Wow.
Yep.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Indeed. Okay, next match. Owen Hart and Yokozuna. Yokozuna is the surprise tag team partner in this match. Owen Hart, I don't really remember how this was set up. The Smoking Guns were the tag team champions. Somehow there was a challenge laid out. I don't really remember how.
I don't remember either.
Dusty, are you here? What am I trying to say? Do you remember what happened? I was trying to be funny about it.
I remember they were feuding against Men on a Mission at the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the fact that Owen got the title match instead of Men on a Mission didn't really make a lot of sense.
Okay.
To me, what I recall is Owen just issued them a challenge and said, I have a mystery partner, and that's as much as I can remember. Like, it really wasn't much of a build. It was just sort of thrown together.
Everybody, I think at the time, Eric from the Wrestling Tribune was speculating that it was going to be, like, Mabel, maybe, as the mystery partner, so they could, like, get rid of Mo. But that would have been better, I guess.
No Mo!
Oh, yeah, no mo.
But then, yeah, so the Smoking Guns are backstage, and they try to cut this terrible smiling promo. That's stupid. They're like, we're babyfaced, we got a smile, but they're like, what did they say? We thought it was going to be somebody, but we didn't think it was going to be him, or something.
Right.
Equally stupid.
Could you be less specific?
Yeah.
Well, we knew it was going to be a person.
Yep.
We didn't think it was going to be that particular person.
Yeah. We figured they'd have 2 feet and a heartbeat, but...
But I can't believe this.
We're going to have to ruffle this steer. You know, they went to college on a rodeo scholarship.
Yep.
Anyway, really the only good thing about this match is that Yokozuna did, well, okay, he didn't do all the work. He's fucking Yokozuna. He did all the squashing, and then Owen Hart did all the pinning.
Mm-hmm.
They made for a neat team, I guess.
Yeah, sure. It was different.
Yeah, it was what it was.
It was, yeah.
Okay, the following match, Bret Hart beats Bob Backlund in an I Quit match.
Oh, my God, that match is fucking terrible.
Yep.
That is the worst Bret Hart, like, pay-per-view match there is, period.
Probably,
is
yeah.
Just god-awful, which is, because I really liked their Survivor Series match from 94.
Oh, it was
but,
awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and this I Quit match was just, ugh, it was thrown together, and just horrible. No, every move seemed to get screwed up, and it was just slow and plodding.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, what, look at the fucking matchups on this show, Undertaker versus King Kong Bundy, Bret Hart versus Bob Backlund, and granted, they just wrestled at Survivor Series, but they were past this by this point.
Right.
They were done with this angle, and they had to revert back to it for some reason, and I can't figure out why.
A lack of depth on the roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's probably the primary thing, plus, like, any fear of, like you said, you know, switch Davey Boy Smith heel.
Yeah.
That would have opened up at least some possibilities for this show. But, yeah, this was bad. Roddy Piper was the referee.
Just bad.
Let's see, what else is...
Allow me, if you will, for a second, to do some fantasy booking here.
Okay, sure.
I would have had Brett beat Diesel for the title at Royal Rumble.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about at the time, this is not stuff I made up, okay? They were talking about it at the time, putting the title back on Brett. They could see, even in January, that Diesel wasn't getting over the way they wanted him to.
Yeah, January of the year that he lost the belt in November, mind you.
Right.
And so there was talk that if they were going to main event with Brett, they were going to try to do Brett versus Bulldog again, like they did at that SummerSlam.
Uh-huh.
That would have been better.
Right.
And then what do you do with Diesel? Well, you know... How they played it off at the Royal Rumble was Lawrence Taylor was Diesel's invited guest.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have had Diesel and Lawrence Taylor against Shawn Michaels and Sid.
Ooh, there you go.
That would have made a lot more sense.
It would have hid Taylor from having to do a singles match, you know?
Yep.
So that's what I would have done.
Okay. Diesel would have gotten the rub. And as far as the rest of the guys go, fuck them.
Yep.
Who cares who Luger wrestles? Who cares who Backlund wrestles? If nothing else, at least this caused Bob Backlund to realize that he should run for president.
And play. What I remember most about Bob Backlund that night is playing chess against Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah.
What was it? Nicholas Turturro? Yeah.
Turturro,
interviewing.
Moving reporter, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Here's another talk about this WrestleMania. There's a lot of production fuck-ups.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I'm sorry, my phone beeped right there.
So it was the worst-looking WrestleMania 2, in addition to being, you know, the worst matches and everything.
The worst, yeah.
It was like a house show with cameras, but then,
mm-hmm.
like, the chintziest light show they could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Give me some of those lights that look like circles. And we'll spin them around a lot. And that was the best they could come up with at the time. Besides Jeff Jarrett's outfit. And yeah, let's talk about these special guest celebrities, by the way. Okay, Jenny McCarthy, obviously hot. Had the Playboy thing going. She's been on MTV for
about
a year. Yeah,
she's cool and she's worthwhile. But,
yeah.
Yep.
Pamela Anderson, probably one of the biggest stars in the world at the time, given she was on Baywatch.
Mm-hmm.
And looked like she wanted to be anywhere else but there.
Oh, Lord, yes. She was not a happy camper that night. She was there to cash her check and roll her eyes.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, Nicholas Turturro, NYPD Blue, okay, whatever, but he's still this fucking weaselly little guy.
Yeah.
that, and then the best part was that he tried to interview the Million Dollar Corporation and his microphone didn't work. And later on, like, they were having all sorts of glitches, and later on in the night, Jerry Lawler makes some comment like, I pulled this card out of the wall earlier, what was this? Which is funny, because I seriously wouldn't doubt with the size and shitty structure of Hartford Civic Center. He probably was sitting against the back wall and just kicked a plug out. And then, yeah, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, all fucking 4'2" of him. Coming down to the ring to, what did he do, ring the bell, I think, or something like that?
It doesn't matter.
I mean, these are some of the... And look at your fucking... Okay, and again, this, given the fact that Pamela Anderson was a huge superstar at the time, still, let's scan the crowd here. Let's scan the ring. Diesel is in the ring holding hands with fucking Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Nick Turturro, fucking bitch who doesn't want to be there, and Jenny McCarthy.
Right.
And he's going to lead the new generation into this next era.
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
Well, okay. Goddamn.
Well, goddamn. So, yeah, Diesel pinned Shawn Michaels, 20 minutes. Two friends wrestling for the belt. Shawn was kind of, you know, coming into his own as the main event heel.
Not as good as people make it out to be.
No. And what's interesting is I think they took the reaction that night. Shawn was pretty well cheered in a lot of parts because Diesel just was not getting over at all.
Yeah.
So the very next night they turned Shawn babyface so we could have two dudes with attitudes.
I just
think it was because Diesel was failing so badly they needed Shawn to prop him up again.
Yep.
Right.
I remember
failing, why keep the belt on him?
That's the question that I never understood.
No kidding. What a horrible idea.
Held the belt for a year.
Yeah.
It's like, Vince, seriously, Vince don't care about the people. He's trying to force this guy down our throat just to prove that he didn't make a bad choice. And, well,
right.
He did.
Well, he did.
I'd rather him admit it and move on than to make us suffer.
Yep. I distinctly remember not only wanting Shawn Michaels to win the belt, but I also seem to recall Pro Wrestling Illustrated calling for Shawn Michaels to win the belt.
Yep, I remember that too.
The baby-facing, kayfabing newsstand magazine. But what have you. And then, Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam Bigelow. You know, try as they might, and it wasn't terrible, and Bam Bam's a, you know, good wrestler and okay promo, but, you know, what they really think they were getting themselves into? Salt and Peppa singing about Bam Bam, you're going to get slammed. LP is a mighty good man.
LP is
we coming to WrestleMania 11. Ooh, we saw Peppa, bitches. And then this match happened, and fucking Steve Mongo McMichael, come on, baby doll, I'm gonna wrestle you to the mat, comma. And Reggie White was there, and Norton Jr. was there, some other queef, some white guy was there.
Carl Banks.
Yeah. Carl Banks, that's right. Fucking
and his
Carl 8 Banks.
Feet of nostrils were there, yep.
Hell yes. Fuck that, though. Carl Banks, man, if you pick the right play in Tecmo Bowl. Then Hell yes. The computer, you could be LT, but you don't need to be. The computer will be LT, and he will chase fuckers down all day long.
Uh-huh.
You can be Carl Banks and cover everything else, and you will win the fucking game.
Be Ronnie Lott. You can be Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, fuck yeah. He will catch you anywhere in his wild-ass web of defense. probably the only safety in that game. We could probably fucking sack the quarterback twice in one play.
Yep.
I wish he was still around so he could sack Jay Cutler's sorry ass.
No shit.
See, yeah, Ronnie Lott's so tough, his pinkies bother him, so he chops the fucking thing off.
Yep.
Jay Cutler's
exactly.
Pissing and moaning that he's getting, you threatened to trade me. You know, I mean, I would really love to see Jay Cutler get the shit hit out of him.
Yeah, and the thing is, Ronnie Lott could probably run from Denver to Chicago in about 4.5 seconds. Fucking unbelievable. Ronnie Lott is everywhere.
Yep.
Awesome.
Again, should tell you how good the WrestleMania was. We're talking about Tecmo Bowl.
Okay. I don't know what else to say about this WrestleMania, but it just looked bad. The wrestling was bad.
It was a piece of trash. The
commentary was bad. Announcers were bad. 80% of the guests were bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is an embarrassment for WWE. This was not fun. This is barely an in-your-house, for Christ's sake.
Oh, yeah. The in-your-house they had in May was 10 times more interesting.
Yep. Oh, so there you go. WrestleMania 11. Fucking Hartford Civic Center. What a joke. What a goddamn
joke.
Okay. Two more WrestleManias. The second worst WrestleMania of all time. And we can certainly concur with this. WrestleMania 2000, otherwise known as WrestleMania 16.
Yeah. Fuck me.
Hey, and what was this about a pattern here? Because we're back in Anaheim.
Uh-huh.
Another big cavernous arena where no one wants to react and no one has heat.
Why would you pay top dollar for tickets to a wrestling show to not react to anything?
Right.
Yeah. No shit.
Especially wrestling at its height, like 2000s when everything's just soaring. They could have held that anywhere. They could have held that in fucking Atlanta, and that thing would have sold out in 2 minutes.
Yeah, no shit. But no, we are stuck with Anaheim, California. Wow. And, I mean, we're getting off to a fucking rip-roaring start here with the Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan. Oh, and just as a preface, this is also the show where the only singles match on the entire thing is the Cat versus Terry, if I remember right.
Wasn't it a stink face match?
Yep, it was the stink face match.
There's not one single, not one on that entire show, one single one-on-one match without a gimmick.
Yep. Well, no. Well, and even that, you don't even have to qualify with that. This was the only singles match.
God.
And it was
that
a women's match.
Fucking ridiculous.
Yep. So, okay, first match, Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan, B squared, taking on D'Lo Brown and the Godfather with Ice-T.
Pimpin' ain't easy, man.
Oh, God.
We should have gotten a fourth person just to do that over the entire. Honestly,
Ice-T is still saying it somewhere.
I think he is. He's still fucking Tutuola on goddamn fucking C. What is SVU?
SVCBI.
Yeah, Law and Order Sport Utility Vehicle.
Yeah. Yes. Richard Belzer Monk is out there like, you want to get a hot dog? Pimpin' ain't easy, man. Pimpin' ain't easy. Honestly,
I love his character. His character on SVU is awesome because he just automatically knows every gang.
Yeah.
<No. laughs> Oh, they're on the 58th block. I know them.
Yep.
Like, holy
I do
shit,
love,
that's racist.
I do love in fucking Top Killer, though. Okay, my friends and I have all, like, the guys, the whole For Swank guys and all the hooligans guys, we all started listening to Top Killer on a regular basis. He's got that part where he's like, it's like the last set of refrains where he says, what do you want to be when you grow up? They go, Cop Killer! And he goes, good choice. And then at one point he goes, don't be a pussy. There's just something about that line, don't be a pussy. That fucking kills us every time. So now here he is, fucking many years later, rapping these goddamn guys down to the ring.
And then they lose. And then they lose.
Yep. Terrible match. Seriously. Fucking Big Boss Man and his fucking crony. This is like Police Academy here in Bull Buchanan. This is like Night Patrol.
But I would have rather seen I would have rather seen Cackleberry and Bobcat wait in this match.
Oh my God. Honestly.
So instead you get the unknown comic and Pat Paulson.
Yep, and Billy Barty. Who was also in Body Slam with Roddy Piper and Dirk Benedict.
Yep.
Okay, 6 degrees of separation. Hardcore Holly, Jesus Christ. I feel like we can't fucking escape these people.
There's a pattern. There's definitely a pattern.
Yeah.
Pattern.
Hardcore Holly.
Those things were not doomed by history are repeating it constantly.
Or repeating it wisely.
In a circle.
Yeah.
It's a circle of suck.
Yeah. For 15 minutes, we had to watch all these guys wrestle each other. Crash.
Clusterfuck-a-mania, yep.
Naki, the Acolytes, the Headbangers, whatever.
Taz, who debuted as a monster less than 2 months before, just destroys Kurt Angle, comes in as an ultimate badass, is relegated to this garbage already. By that point, they'd given up on him.
And then he didn't even win.
No!
Yeah.
He could have justified it, kind of, if he had won, if he had plowed through everything.
Right.
And
but no.
Botched completely, by the way, because Hardcore had Crash pinned. The referee wasn't supposed to make the three count. Fucking Crash got his shoulder up. The referee did not hit the mat for three. He still turns around and calls for the bell and gives the match in the think of, like, the winner of the Hardcore match. Hardcore! Holly! Like, Mr. Black.
Mr. Black, yes.
Just a fucking travesty. Miscarriage of justice.
I can't believe the Headbangers were still around in 2000.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God.
Yep.
What a travesty that is.
Well, they had, but they had reformed because the Beaver Cleavage thing had happened, and then...
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
You don't want your Headbangers trivia?
No.
Fuck you! Those are my boys.
The Sisters of Mercy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We should move on to the next match for the sake of time and the sake of not talking about this.
No, we shouldn't. We should not move on to the next.
skip ahead to the last one, the last show. Well, hey, Test and Prince Albert, TNA, with Trish Stratus, beat Head Cheese, Al Snow, and Steve Blackman.
Uh-huh.
Kill me fucking now, seriously. Throw me in a garage full of garages, full of cars, with fucking cars in the cars, with fucking cars on. Full of fucking ropes with ropes fashioned into nooses and little nooses tied into the nooses.
And then shoot you in the head.
And then make action figures of me to put in the little nooses on the noose in which I am swinging from a fucking garage inside a garage with two cars on.
You're still, hey, you're being a little vague.
This is fucking awful. And we are still, we're not even done.
No. Ugh.
Okay.
I think you killed Dusty.
I'm sad, Dad. Keep going. Keep going.
Okay. I'll try. Okay.
Go on with
here's a little sunshine in our cloudy day. Edge and Christian beat the Hardys and the Dudleys in a triple threat tables match.
Mm-hmm.
A ladder match.
Ladder.
They involve tables and shit in it. Edge and Christian would turn heel the next night, which is fucking awesome.
All brilliant. Very brilliant.
Yep, and it was a good match. Best match on the show by
yeah.
I'm sure of it. I don't even have to scroll down, but I can tell you right now.
You're fine.
Okay.
Yep.
22 minutes, too. That's fucking awesome. They gave these guys all the time in the world to wrestle, so... you kind of feel bad for these guys being stuck on this show, but whatever. They saved it. Oh my God. Okay, so Terry with the Fabulous Moolah beats Cat with Mae Young. It's a cat fight. Val Venus is the special guest referee. Damn that Jezebel. I don't know, whatever. But the best part of this whole thing was earlier in the night when they're in the Cat's locker room and she's naked, but she's doing all that, like, Mae Young hands her two bottles of water and they happen to cover up her tits.
Yeah.
And she holds up that underwear with the cat on the front and it happens to cover up her puss.
Yeah.
And then we get the match and whoops. Too Cool. Oh, my God. Grandmaster Sexay and Scotty Too Hotty team up with China.
Oh, God, I watched this match today. Oh, Lord.
To beat, not just to wrestle, but to beat Eddie Guerrero, Perry Saturn, and Dean Malenko.
Mm-hmm.
three of the best wrestlers on the planet Earth, who had just showed up 2 months earlier,
yep,
were beaten by this threesome.
That's Eddie's first match back after he destroyed his elbow in his first match in WWF.
That's right.
And he has to job to Scott Taylor and Brian Christopher.
Woo! Shuffle to China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was bad. Mm-hmm. Here we go, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle lost both the European and Intercontinental titles in one match. Chris Benoit, he who shall not be named, pinned Chris Jericho.
Too soon!
The Intercontinental belt. What? What?
Too soon!
A ghost. Fucking Slimer pinned. No, that's Vicky Guerrero, sorry. And then Chris Jericho pinned to win the European title.
Woohoo!
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of a clusterfuck, I guess.
Too soon, McAllister.
Oh, God. Well, at first I just thought you said Deuce McAllister. I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? I forget what you said. Probably the second best match on the show. But
yeah.
Not being much.
No.
It wasn't
titles
really
were changed like nobody's biz, and nobody really cared who was European champion or anything.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the guy who won the Intercontinental belt earlier gets pinned, but that means that guy wins the European belt.
Yep.
Here we go. Here's 4 minutes and 16 seconds. I'll never get back. Kane teams up with Rikishi to beat the Road Dogg and X-Pac. My God.
Yep.
This is Kane pins X-Pac in the fucking longest feud in history.
Oh, my God.
God damn it. Could they have wrestled each other a little more often, please?
Yeah.
Over his fucking the big red retard, shriveled red wiener, and fucking Corey says this. And,
God.
And then we get our main event of the evening. Now, The Rock had just been the guest host of Saturday Night Live the
mm-hmm.
night before, right?
Yep.
With special musical guest AC/DC. And, you know, thankfully, the other guys in the four-way match managed to weasel their way onto the show. Triple H, Mick Foley, and The Big Show. So, yeah, you're right. They're soaring at this point. They have the fucking world in the palm of their hands.
Their ratings are huge. Everybody, you know, all their shows are selling out weeks in advance.
They can fly higher than an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, what do? They go to Anaheim and they give us this.
Right.
And the sad thing is no one cared. Nobody really realized it. But, you know, because they just keep going and going and going and going after this. It's that the old WCW syndrome where it took months for people to realize these are shitty shows and finally just give up.
When you're hot, you can crank out months of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's true.
And that's what this was.
Yep. And so,
it seemed like months of crap in one night.
Yeah, it sure did.
And I point the finger squarely at Mick Foley. That guy can go fuck himself.
Well, yeah, I'm never going to do the fake wrestling retirement, and then he retired 1 month earlier and comes back for one more match.
Yep. Yeah. And so we get a four-way match main eventing WrestleMania.
It's a McMahon's. Yeah, it's all McMahon's. The guy's wrestling. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, if you ask fucking Kevin Kelly, he'll tell you that it's dysfunctional mania. Oh, that's right. This was the pay-per-view where they had the 12-hour pregame show.
Uh-huh.
I loved it. I'm not going to lie. I go back.
No, I love the pregame.
I was so burnt out by the time it was time for the show.
Yeah, that's true. It's like Kiss Arnie. You can only do so much fucking preview shit before you blow your load everywhere. That's what happened here, I'm sure. That's part of it. This is, seriously, WrestleMania all day long was awesome. Ivory and Ivory's great. Michael Cole sucked, whatever. But they had all their guests, and they were all breaking kayfabe, and they were telling their stories.
Ivory was always really good on those. I liked her on Heat with, you know, Coach and whomever. I always thought Ivory was good.
And she was on the WWE Experience with Grish.
The Grish, yeah.
Grish. So we have Triple H, the heel. First time that a heel actually leaves WrestleMania with his hand raised.
WrestleMania 2 that the belt doesn't change hands.
Is that right?
Oh, 11. I forgot about 11. Never mind. No, continue. I tried to block that one out.
Three didn't.
Oh, that's right. That one, too. Never mind. Man, these are frying my brain.
No, you're right, though. Other than that, I think you're pretty much right. Let's count. 4 did. 5, 6, 7 did. 8 did.
Mm-hmm. 9 twice.
9 twice. We'll talk about that in a
couple. Yeah, oh, yeah. 10, 11 didn't. 12 did. 13 did. 14 did. 15 did.
Okay. So, yeah. Then here's Triple H, fucking all insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, he's going to win the goddamn match.
Well, really, at the time, The Rock was just in the match because he was The Rock. Big Show had already lost the belt in his failed world title run, and Foley was just there to fatten up the ring a little bit. So,
testing out the
room. So Linda could have someone in her corner. So there was really no better, and it was right at the height of the McMahon-Helmsley stuff. So there was really no better choice, but it still didn't make the match good.
No.
Right.
No. Yeah. Yeah, Rock winning was not going to save this match from being
bad
as it was. I have the fond memory of Mick Foley trying to do his big elbow from the apron and fucking barely grazing the table at ringside. Just embarrassing. Just fucking embarrassing for him.
The humanity.
His show is
so he'd go on to embarrass himself plenty more.
Oh, yeah.
He had another 9 years worth of embarrassing himself to come.
Still going.
Assuredly more to come after that. This show is so bad.
Oh, man. I never want to watch this show, ever. Like, you know, I have every one, and it's never the one I'm like, I'm in the mood to watch WrestleMania 2000. Every time I'm stupid enough to do it, I watch it for 10 minutes, and then I quit.
Pippin ain't easy, man. That's what you see for 10 minutes,
All right, there you go.
We should have just done that. Yep.
That's probably the best way. I was thinking, what are we going to talk about instead? And I'm like, am I going to fucking talk about Coleco football next? But thank you for bringing it back around to Pimpernate Easy, right? Enough said about WrestleMania 2000. It is time to talk about the WrestleMania that was voted on by you, the fans, as the worst WrestleMania of all time. I think you're all out of your minds. Well, whatever. WrestleMania 9 from Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's see, Jordan. You said this is the first pay-per-view you ever bought?
Yep, I got it for my 14th birthday as a birthday gift. And boy, I loved it at the time because I had been a fan for like 2 months. But even within 6 months after that, I realized how shitty this show was. I was never that big of a Hogan fan even at that point. So I was really pissed at that show, even at the end.
Uh-huh.
Because, Hogan... Only with Hogan does Brutus Beefcake get hit with a beefcase, as they called it, ha 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 ha, and somehow he becomes world champion because of that.
Nice.
He convinces Vince, we'll talk about it. We'll get to there. Yep.
Any pre-thoughts about this show?
Nope.
This is the first pay-per-view that I got, but I dubbed it off of a friend's tape. So I didn't actually buy it. The first one I bought was SummerSlam of 93. But
I bought that one, too. I love that one.
Okay, but I watched this
in a horrible way.
I watched a bunch of them on Scramble Vision before this, but I just...
Yeah, so did I. This is my first ordered one.
I was in the living room with my dad eating... we grilled burgers that night. We probably pan-fried burgers, I guess, because it was March or whatever, April 4th. You might have grilled.
Yep, April 4th.
They were probably pan-fried, yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
But they were probably fish also, and I'm probably hungry now. So.
I'm actually pretty hungry, too. So So I'm watching WrestleMania on Scramble Vision. My dad doesn't mind. He's watching it too. I have a pan-fried burger on two buns with sliced cheese, a little bit of ketchup, mustard, pickle, tomato, slice of onion. I take a big bite, and I hear Gorilla Monsoon say, "The newest addition to the WWF announce team, Jim Ross." My entire mouthful of burger falls out onto my plate, and I'm like, "Yes! That is fucking awesome!" And my dad is like, "What is he doing here?"
Yep. He was in a toga. The first time you see Jim Ross in WWF, he's in a fucking toga.
Yep, he sure is. This is at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada. They took part of, what, the MGM Grand Theater or whatever the fuck.
No, Caesar's Palace is its own thing. It was just out back.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
It's like hiring
Peter belongs.
To run the circus or something.
Yeah. I mean, this was silly. And how many people did this? Okay. This says, I find this hard to believe. Sorry, ProWrestlingHistory.com, love you to death, but 15,000 people live?
I bet you there was 7 or 8 tops.
Maybe, there wasn't even a fucking balcony, dude. There was...
No.
You know, I'm thinking like 5,000 people were there, and they were all
just
that wanted something else to do.
Right. This, you could tell Vince was so distracted by the steroid scandal going on here that things are falling apart. And this was, you know, he'd cleaned out the roster of all the walking steroids and the, you know, the warriors of the world. So he was kind of left with the workers and the fat guys, which, as Dusty and I were talking about before, it was great. I mean, that was great, but nobody was had any kind of direction at all.
No. Right.
And like I said, this is when they should have brought in Bill Watts.
Yeah, really. I mean, he was just...
Whip them all into shape and start booking right, you know?
Yep. He was pretty close to being fired at the time, or...
Yeah, because it was Hank Aaron comments, or whatever, the one that Hank Aaron got a hold of, I mean. Yeah.
No, he was gone by then. I think.
I thought it was just after. It's 93. It might have been. I don't remember.
He didn't last very long. I know that.
Well,
and no, Mark Madden, you didn't get him fired.
Nope.
You didn't get him fired. You want to think you did so that you feel useful. Fuck you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dusty. I appreciate all that. Okay, let's talk about the actual show. Kicked off on pay-per-view with Tatanka, the Vanishing American, beating Shawn Michaels via countout.
The debut of Luna Vachon.
Yeah, almost 20 minutes. This is right after Shawn and Sherry split up, and Sherry was standing in everybody else's corner, so she's in Tatanka's corner. So Shawn Michaels brings out Luna Vachon as his corner person.
She's standing by her man.
That's right.
All I remember... I mean, we kind of missed the Heenan on the camel, which was, you know, Vince Humor, of course.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about all that shit to introduce the shows. Jim Ross is standing out there in a toga, and he introduces Macho Man Randy Savage, who comes out on the sedan with the Vestal Virgins, graffiti and grapes. The grapes were great, and the chicks were cool. Ooh, yeah. We got a lock and load type situation. And then it's a fucking make or break. I said it before, WrestleMania's make or break. I made it, and he got broke. Yeah, here comes Bobby Heenan fucking riding backwards on an ostrich.
Backwards on a camel. Yep.
Or is it a camel? That's right.
Yeah, it was a camel. Yep, he's riding backwards. He's trying to make the best of that situation, you can tell.
That's right, so. Because the ostrich walks the other way, and he tries to backhand it.
Just typical Heenan. Just beautiful.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, this was also the Caesar's, you know, Caesar and Cleopatra were out there.
Oh, my
They had that little skit during the Royal Rumble in 93 where it's like, all roads do not lead to Rome. They lead to Caesar's Palace. Beautiful Caesar's Palace where you can spend your tokens. then it turns into this shit.
Yeah.
You're right. Fucking Bobby Heenan saved. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He's like, Jim Ross, you're probably used to the smell being from Oklahoma. Well, yeah, kind of. In fact, the camel's really hot about the situation.
And all I remember is, this has been a running joke, Randy Savage say, Tatanka's doing the thing about 74,000 times. during this match.
Oh my God!
And don't you know?
Like, don't you know that Tatanka's beat Shawn Michaels in non-title matches? Yeah, but those are non-title matches. That's what I said. And then the fucking Luna's Bazaar with a capital B. Spell the rest. I don't have to answer questions you ask me, Savage. Seriously. We're having more fun talking about this show than any of the other ones already.
Because it's fucking ridiculous. It's not a WrestleMania at all. I've seen, you know, I've seen those bootleg, like, or like a Iowa, or Cotton. Use your words, Jordan. Find them. They're in your mouth. Yeah, like an NWA Wildside. There we go. Event that seemed more, I don't know, like big time than this. This just seems so rinky-dink in every single fucking way.
That's really sad. That's really sad to say.
Well, it's true, though. I mean, like, I watch it, and it just does not even seem like a WrestleMania. Nobody's got anything fancy. It's just this, they're trying, but nobody
it
has
the
heat coming in.
It felt like the Beach Blast version of Monday Nitro.
Right. There, that's a better way of putting it. Yep.
Yeah,
there.
Right. That makes sense. Tatanka wins by count out, so he maintains his winning streak, but doesn't win the belt. Another one of those protective things WWF did for their wrestlers. It wasn't a bad match, but it wasn't great. There was some psychology that no one fucking paid attention to because they're all making fun of each other. Tatanka's shoulder was hurt or something to that effect. I don't even remember now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But then the match happened. Then Luna attacks Sherry at ringside, and then we get reports throughout the night of how Sherry's doing in the dressing room.
The Coliseum video exclusive of
right.
Luna making some sort of weird guttural yelling while she hits Tits McGee really hard.
Yeah. I don't know. That's whatever. It was two mid-carders. Oh, Dusty, any facts about this show that you want to put out there that are actually correct?
What?
As opposed to other people who've talked about this show that have spewed many, many, many incorrect facts. Okay.
I didn't hear what you said.
I said, you want to spit out any true facts about this show, unlike fucking dipshit and McGee over at the other site.
Deluxe Express.
Wasn't this show outdoors just like three was?
Yeah. Jesus.
Lex Luger hot off of his Lex Express tour.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, let's keep talking. Rick and Scott Steiner from the University of Wisconsin, I think they had their coats on upside down, beat the Head Shrinkers in 15 minutes. Again, this is a pretty good match, really.
Yep, not too bad. I was kind of like the Head Shrinkers, so.
Yep, me too.
So.
This is before Scott's steroid use got way out of hand.
Oh, man, yeah. He's pretty beefy, but he's nowhere near. He's half the size he is now.
Yeah,
so.
He could still throw a Frankensteiner back in these days.
Yep.
How did he end up that way? What the fuck happened with him?
He just liked bodybuilding, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, took a page out of Superstar Graham's book and started interjecting it. let's see. Here we go now. Doink, played by Matt Bourne, pinned Crush. Now, this is after he just tore his own arm out of the socket.
That's awesome.
Say it,
yeah.
Dusty. Fuck, say it. God damn it. You're not going to... Okay, fuck it then. We're going to do this whole show without the It's a Cast joke. But anyway, because we're in Las Vegas and we have David Copperfield here, it's obviously an illusion.
Yeah.
The second joint comes out. God damn it.
That's pretty infamous.
I fucking fed you the It's a Cast line and you didn't even say it.
I honestly can't hear you half the time.
Why? What's the matter, my friend?
I have no idea.
Well, maybe it's for the best since we're talking about WrestleMania 9. Okay. So Doink beats Crush. This is fucking Crush we're talking about here. Honestly,
oh.
Who cares?
One of my friends at the time was like the world's biggest Crush fan, which sat on about 20 different levels, but he was just screaming at this match, like, how could two clowns get away with this?
Oh, my God.
Just, like, really upset. And I was like, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, two clowns can get away with it because they're awesome. That's why.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Brilliant.
I love it. They even set it up, the double vision at the beginning, you know, it is promo before.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And then he squirted Gene Okerlund in the eye with his flower.
Uh-huh. After there was clown makeup on the bust of Caesar behind him, yep.
That's right, yep. This is a party! I'm turning this place into a party!
Yep.
I'm trying to have some fun! I don't know. Doink was awesome, though. I think we...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I love it. Love it, love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And, well, Doink... Okay, Doink, Matt Bourne as Doink was awesome.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, Ray Apollo as Doink was not so awesome.
Yeah. Not so much. Yeah, awesome or not awesome. Here we go. Razor Ramon beats Bob Backlund. That was a good choice.
Heated on commentary again is brilliant. Just talking about Opie from Mayberry. And
yep, yep.
Yeah.
And so. He beat the wrestler with wrestling.
Uh-huh.
But whatever. It was the slow and steady beginning of Razor Ramon's push. He would
turn
babyface pretty soon after this. And it was what it was. I don't know.
This is where Razor would actually say, me, me, me.
Mm-hmm.
When he was pointing.
That's
that
right.
That was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. That was funny shit. Then we get 20 minutes of Money Incorporated versus Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake, the
Mega
Maniac. The team of the Mega Maniacs. That's what we'll call ourselves. All this shit set up on Monday Night Raw, held in the Manhattan
mm-hmm.
Center. So you've got Hulk Hogan, the returning hero, coming back to a crowd of about 1,500 people, half of which are booing him.
Yep. Yep. Including the guy who always wore the Bob Backlund WWF World Champion shirt.
Yes. That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
T-shirts plus in the mall t-shirt.
Uh-huh. Fucking brilliant. And he was always right across from the hard camera, always in the middle. So obvious. Like, every time I watch it, I'm always looking at that guy's reactions to everything.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, more can probably be made of this match, but I don't know.
Nah. It's Hogan was the only one. The crowd, because it was outdoors, you can't hardly hear anything. It was really windy.
Yeah.
And so the sound just died. If there was sound, it's hard to tell. The crowd didn't really seem to give a shit. But the only thing you can hear is the ovation for Hogan, because that's the guy they recognized.
Yep. And about the only other thing you can hear is Randy Savage snickering because Hulk Hogan comes to the ring with a black eye and stitches.
Yep.
I still wish I knew what the exact story was. But
yeah, I've never heard. I was just about to ask that because, you know, the storyline was what Money Inc. hired some dudes
hired
to beat him up.
To jump
yep.
him, yeah.
Yeah.
Hired goons.
Hired goons.
Goons. Hired goons.
Hired goons.
I hope, what was it, something in Low Blow? I hope Crusher and Low
Crusher
Blow.
Crusher and Low Blow, yep.
Yeah. Like, well, a phone call would have been nice. Yes, but I prefer, the phone's so impersonal, I prefer the hands-on touch of hired goons.
Hired goons?
He said it again. Yeah, so Hogan and his black eye, that was pretty funny. And
mm-hmm.
I bet whoever did that to Hogan is a pretty bad person.
Yeah. Yeah, let's that in there, Randall.
Randall King Savage.
Yeah, but then the DQ finish then would keep the tag team belt, keep those stinky tag team belts off of Hulk Hogan, thank God, for later in the night. So then here we go. Lex Luger straight off the Lex Express. Jesus, like the fucking Lex Express helicopter landed right in the middle of Soldier Field and dropped off Lex Luger for his match against Mr. Perfect Terry Taylor. This was a good. Drop to your knees, Lex. Drop to your knees. Perfect. Drop to your. He says, drop to your knees. That sounds like somewhere you'd go to buy used prosthetics.
Lee's knees.
I'm gonna go down to Lee's knees.
It's the bee's knees.
Yeah. 5 knees for a quarter, they'd say.
As was the style at the time.
Yeah.
This
is another one. I didn't think that this match was so bad.
No, it was fine for what it was.
We got a pretty good match out of the Larcissus.
Larks, whatever.
And then, yep, and then he and her fucking Okerlund and Perfect are cracking up. And what's great, too, is as they're, at the very beginning of that promo and the camera's panning over, you can see that they're both kind of laughing about something anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that fucking rail tickled their noses or something. I don't know. Tickle their funny bones pink. But then, yeah, after the match, then Shawn Michaels beats up Mr. Perfect backstage with a big push broom that they
yep.
used to clean up after the elephants. And, that's where we go from there. Oh, my God. Seventh match of the pay-per-view. The Undertaker beats Giant Gonzalez. By
man,
disqualification.
Undertaker has some shite.
Oh, man. Yeah, his match with Diesel is the best one he'd had, because if you look at his first five or whatever, they're just, oh, God,
yep.
horrible.
Yep.
The one with Jake's all right, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And
this one's god-awful.
Here he's stuck with the man with the airbrushed bodysuit.
Yep.
Looking like
Heenan calls him 12'20", which always makes me laugh. So
yeah, he could palm a Buick. Furry slim Goodbody comes out with Harvey Whippleman, and then at the end of the match, he choke slams Bill Alfonso. He fucking grabs him by the throat, pushes him down to the mat. Then I think he realizes that wasn't actually a choke slam. Picks him back up by the throat and gives him a real choke slam. At which point, Fonzie probably started on the crank then. Or wait, he already was.
That's our daddy!
I mean, really, Giant fucking Gonzalez. Dusty,
yeah.
you were probably a big NWA fan or before this.
Yeah.
El Gigante, for Christ's sake.
El Gigante, right.
Yep.
The guy who wore 10
carried
on his head
5 inches at one time. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Was brought in to wrestle Ric Flair for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He was a failed Atlanta Hawk basketball player. That's why.
Yeah, and so
yeah,
because
that's how they discovered him. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, yeah, because it was all part of the Turner organization.
Yeah,
right.
Because he was under contract to something owned by Ted Turner. They're like, well, fuck, what are we going to do with this guy now? Let's have him wrestle Sid and One Man Gang and Ric Flair.
And the Chamber of Horrors.
And cut a promo at Wrestle War 91 during the Danger Zone.
Oh, my God. I'm wrong.
He comes out wearing a sombrero, and he's like, ¿Cómo estás? Don't you understand me? You speak it in English? Oh, my God. Probably the highlight of Giant Gonzalez's career was being berated by Paul E. at WrestleWar 91.
Useless. He's immobile.
In his one promo, I want the belt.
Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ. There was also the, what's that smell? Chloroform? And, of course, fucking Jim Ross, being from the South, would probably prefer to call it ether, but he at least realizes it's called chloroform. Or chloroform. It is chloroform. He's like, chloroform? No, goddammit.
I want to call it ether, because that's what we used to call it.
That's right. That's what we call it down in Texas.
That's what used to call it.
He's got a pretty good sniffer, because the wind's blowing the complete opposite direction from where they are. And it was just so hokey, even for me at 14. I was like, this is dumb. And Undertaker couldn't even win. He had to get Giant Gonzalez had to get DQ'd. Which is just fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
16-0. Every match a classic. He'll make you famous.
Oh, my God. His backyard. Fucking Caesar's Palace is his backyard. Okay, then we get our scheduled main event of the evening. Yokozuna beats Bret Hart in a very hard 20-30-minute match that lasted 8 minutes and 65
Eight?
Seconds.
Yeah.
This match probably went 30-40 minutes. They only showed snippets of it.
That's right. The doctored footage. Salt in the eye. Let's see. Bret finally got the sharpshooter on Yokozuna, and then Mr. Fuji threw salt in his eye. Yokozuna pins Bret Hart, wins the belt, and then Hulk Hogan runs down to the man. He fucking made no bones about it. He was down there immediately.
Yeah. Oh, no. I want to rant about this when we're done, but yeah.
Okay. Yep. And then so Hogan gets on the – or well, he doesn't even get on the microphone. Fuji grabs the microphone. As Hogan is helping Hart out of the ring.
Hogan! My Yokozuna, issue a challenge!
He's like, Hogan! Hogan, you big man! Yeah, my Yokozuna, issue a challenge! If you have any intestinal fortitude, you'll accept my Yokozuna challenge! Come on! Come on, you yellow belly!
And then Bret, go! Because Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan were such good friends.
Oh, right. Yeah.
God, that was still horrible.
And Hogan even cut a promo before the match where he was like, you know, I hope that Bret Hart's a Hulkamaniac, and I hope he wins, beats the Jap brother. And then, so, yeah, Fuji's like, give me one more second. We put up the new WWF title. At which point, Hogan's like, boing, I'm out of here. 30 seconds later, we got a new world champion.
You can tell going into even that day that the plans changed. Because Luger knocks out Bret Hart at the brunch or buffet beforehand, so you could tell they're setting up for a Luger Hart program.
Yep.
And then Hogan, basically McMahon's so distracted, Hogan convinces him that he needs him, and boom, here we have title, you know, interjection into the match, and never wrestles until on TV until he loses the belt at King of the Ring.
Yep. I don't know. This is Hulk Hogan at his most.
God.
And this is also like a couple months later. He's defending he's wrestling for the IWGP belt in Japan in the Tokyo Dome against Great Muta, and he calls the WWF title a Christmas ornament and calls the IWGP title like a Rolls Royce or something like that.
Thanks, Dick.
I fucking paid to see a house show in Des Moines, Iowa. In like May of 93 and couldn't even see the world champion wrestle.
No, because he never wrestled. So, I really think 2000's the worst the more we talk about it. But
yeah. Well, and I was also thinking Jim Ross, too. First thing you see is Jim Ross in the toga. The last thing you hear is him having an orgasm over Hulk Hogan.
Yep. Things were different.
Yep.
No, I would argue that 99 and 2000 were both worse, but
this is awful. Let's see. I guess any other closing thoughts about WrestleMania?
Jordan, what's your rant?
I think I'm ranted out after all these. I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that the one this weekend might be possibility of ending up on this list someday. So, potentially. It could be good. It'll probably be middling, but there's a lot of, you know, you can kind of see some patterns, some half-assed booking, throwing shit together real fast, storylines changing a million times, you know, stuff that's 15 in 2000. So.
Yep. Dusty, any general thoughts about this year's WrestleMania?
About this year's WrestleMania? Well, it seems, you know, pasted together. It seems like a lot of things didn't work out the way they had originally planned and that they just sort of slapped something together instead because they had to have the show.
And that's kind of how 9 was, too. Yep.
Yeah.
So. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They need a complete overhaul of their booking team, period.
Yeah, for sure.
They need to completely reevaluate how they do everything.
Mm-hmm.
They need to find somebody like Russo, who's obviously better than Russo, but still, you know, like him, in that he knows what's hip and with it in this day and age.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Because the Attitude Era mirrored stuff like Jerry Springer that was big in the late 90s. So you got to find somebody who has the finger on the pulse of culture. And you got to find somebody who's worried about everybody on the roster instead of the top four guys.
Yep, exactly. All right. That's why, and all that is probably why this might end up on... this WrestleMania this year might end up on this list in the future. cool. Well, let's see. I guess I'd like to thank everybody for listening to our shows. I guess I'd like to. No, I'd like to. Be a little more authoritative about this, and also keep checking in on Kevin and Jeremy's match-by-match previews of WrestleMania 25 here on Stunt Granny. Keep going to .net, and what's the other one called, Dusty?
I don't know.
Yeah. Keep going to places to look for your wrestling news. this is where I go grade papers, so I'm going to bounce. So everyone have a good WrestleMania weekend. Well, guys can also sign off if you wish.
Okay.
Parting
is such sweet sorrow.
I know. I'm fucking all choked up.
Yep. Made me almost drop my phone. All right. Well, thank you guys for having me. It's been fun. And ranty. So,
Well,
I appreciate it.
Well, big shout out to you for, you know, doing this with us. That was really nice. And I had a good time, and I hope you did too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, just to put the cap on this fucker, for Eric Nelson and Jordan Wizard, and for
It's a Cast!
This is Dusty Giebing. This has been another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. We will try to do better next time.
Doing the thing!